In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I want to begin a little earlier in the Gospel than what was prayed today. We finished the Gospel of John, verses 35 to 51, but before that, the Jews came and they questioned John the Baptist, saying, "Who are you?" Now, this is an amazing thing. And by the way, if you ever get into trouble, get a Jewish lawyer. They, if they are true sons of the Torah, they can get you out of most anything. First of all, these were the chief priests from Jerusalem who were sent. Not just somebody that was curious to go to see John the Baptist. And they ask him who he is. Well, who was his father? His father was a chief priest. And wasn't it amazing that his father didn't have a child until he was really, really old? Is this something that you would forget about? I don't think so. And then when Herod was looking for every person who was 2 years old and under to slay, they went to Zechariah and said, "Where's your son?" And they killed Zechariah between the altar of incense and the Holy of Holies. So now they come to John the Baptist. He's a fully grown man. He has spent time with the Essenes, a sect of the Jews that were very spiritual and very ascetic. And you know the story. He lived on wild honey and locusts. His clothes were very rough. And so they say, "Who are you? Are you Moses? You know, No, I'm not Moses. Are you Elijah?" No, I'm not Elijah. "Are you that prophet?" Now, if they had asked him, "Are you a prophet?" he would have answered, "Yes, of course, I'm a prophet. But are you that prophet?" That's the prophet that was talked about by Moses, saying that someone was going to be sent that would fulfill all of these things. In other words, he's going to be a precursor to the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah, not a Messiah. There'd been other Messiahs. To be a Messiah wasn't that big a deal. Theodos had many, many followers. And of course it came to nothing. I was sitting with Amba Antonios Marcos one time, and he was telling me about some of his, not just travels, but travails in Kenya. And of course, he was very close to some of the highest members in the Kikuyu tribe, which is a dominant tribe in Kenya. But this was a man who was of a tribe that was of a much smaller nature. And when his grace began to speak about Jesus Christ, the man looked at him and said, "I'm Jesus." Now, you can imagine Amba Antonios Marcos. Nobody in all of Egypt had ever said that to him. And in all his travels, nobody had ever said that to him. "I am Jesus." But here's this man standing in front of him. "I am Jesus. I am the Messiah. And it was, follow me." You may know also that there was this Rebbe in Brooklyn. And his name was Schneerson. And the Jews thought, as late as the 70s, that he was the Messiah. And they put billboards up around Brooklyn, New York, big billboards, big ones, saying, you know, "We're waiting for the return of the Rebbe." Rebbe is a kind of an affectionate term for a great teacher, a great teacher. Messiah was just a word. It's one who is anointed. Anointed by whom? Well, many of us today follow people in media that are self-anointed. What's that guy's name, Peterson? Who knows what I'm talking about? Anybody? Jordan Peterson? Oh, one person. My goodness, you guys are so illiterate. So he's self-anointed, and he's a guru. And if you look him up, you know, you have some time before you go and eat, and after you've received communion, Google Jordan Peterson and just see how popular he is. He is a self-appointed, a self-anointed guru, avatar. You know the word avatar, I'm sure, because I know you know more about movies than you do other things. Anyway, so now let's move along. You know, John the Baptist was the forerunner and the precursor of the Redeemer. At the end, Enoch is going to be the forerunner and the precursor of the Judge. Jesus came to redeem. At the end of life, he will judge. And you will have these. So people come and they say, who are you, John? Who are you? They knew exactly who he was. You see, that's why I said, get yourself a Jewish lawyer. They were going to try with subtlety to try to pull something else out of it, so that they could somehow make friends with what they most feared, which was their replacement. Now, in the calling of the disciples, I want you to think about how you became a Christian. Almost all of you, except for me, you were born to Christian parents. But what you were born into, you have to finally acquire. You can be born into the royal family, or married into it. But if you do not do what the royals do, it cannot be said of you that you are royalty. You can say you had a chance. You had a better chance than most. You were born to the manor. There was a silver spoon that you were fed with, but what did you do with it? What did you do? You know, the reason that I prize so highly, and I've not seen this man since July of 1988. Well, not July, November of 1988. That's how long it's been since I've, and by the way, he hasn't changed a bit. You know, that's the thing that's, I just, you know, I look at him and I go, I've changed. I can barely stand up anymore. My back hurts so much. But this is why I prize him so highly, because you know, there's just, as the Lord said about Nathanael, and by the way, Nathanael and Bartholomew are the same person. Bartholomew means, Bar means son. Bar, so the son of Ptolemew. That's his patrilineal name, but his personal name, because everybody's got two, right? Nathanael. Now, when we look and see the story and how it relates to us, we have to think about the time when, you know what? I really am Coptic Orthodox. Not I'm just an Egyptian. Oh, there's millions and millions of Egyptian, most of them Muslim. But I am Coptic. I'm not Protestant. I'm not Catholic. I am Orthodox. When did you say that to yourself? When did you decide? Because I know some, you have got some people in your families, because I know all you people here, they're sitting here today. You got some people in your families that are really on the border of heterodoxy, of Protestantism, of some other form than that in which they were raised. They never acquired the grace into which they were born. They never acquired it or married into it. So when we see the story of John, who had been by the pool, and Jesus had been baptized, and he was standing back, and Jesus went off by the Spirit, led into the wilderness, and he was gone for 40 days, and then he comes back, and the two disciples that were with him were Andrew and John the Beloved. And so we begin the story today. It says John stood with two of his disciples, and then he reiterated a second time, because you know, he, the Bible is very succinct. And by the way, I want to tell you, God the Father Almighty is very stingy with compliments. Very stingy. He points to his Son and he said, "In him I'm well pleased." Well pleased? What must he think of me then? If he's only well pleased with his only begotten Son, who did every single thing and who had every single thought in common and who was filled with love, I'm well pleased. How was dinner tonight? It was pleasing. It was pleasing. The ambience was nice. God does not give big compliments to anybody. So when he says something like, "Of all men born to women, there is no one greater than John the Baptist," you have to understand the real gravity of that statement. But he said again, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then the disciples, because you know there was all kinds of conversation. If something great and magnificent happened in this church, don't you think everybody would be talking about it? Sure they would. Within 10 minutes. When I was going to be ordained, when it was understood that I was going to be ordained by Pope Shenouda, my wife knew within 30 minutes. It didn't matter the time difference. It didn't matter that I was in the office of Pope Shenouda in Cairo. My wife knew in 30 minutes. 30 minutes. So everyone would have known all of the things that John had kept him to himself, that he had to keep to himself, that now he's able to share with his disciples. And he shared it with them. So when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," that was it. That was like the starter's gun at a racetrack. And they went off and followed him. And then when he saw that they were following him, what do you want? What do you want? What does anybody want who really truly loves God, but more information about God? Think about when you were in love with your spouse. Long time ago, a lot of water under a lot of bridges. But when you were really in love with somebody, you wanted to know every little single thing about them. What was their favorite color? What did they like to eat? What music did they like? How did they spend their leisure time activities? How were they educated? What do you want to do when we get married, how do you see life? They want to know everything. So this is the common thing. When you see somebody that you love and all of a sudden you understand that this is the fulfillment of everything that you've dreamed about, you follow. Now, of the two, Andrew went immediately and told his brother Peter. Now, Peter, as you know, is a very ebullient character, and he is a hard nut to crack. He's the kind of guy that if he believes in something, you know, "You're not going to just wash my feet. I'm not going to ever let you wash my feet." The Lord says, "If I don't wash your feet, you have nothing in me." He says, "Oh, don't wash just my feet. Wash the whole thing. I want every part of me washed." You know, that kind of a man. And so what did he say to him? He said, "We have found the Messiah." And Andrew brought his brother to Jesus. He didn't say anymore. The gospel doesn't say that they had a discussion about it. And then the very next day, Philip went to Nathanael, and he found him, in meditation, as he was. Because Nathanael was a real student of the law. Now, the parable of the fig tree. You see, in these days, to be under a fig tree was to be under the law. The tree, however, was going to, from then on, be barren, because the fruit of that tree is Jesus Christ himself, the living word of God. And so there's not going to be any more fruit. So he was under there for shade, and he was meditating, and Jesus said to him, I know you. I saw you the other day under the fig tree. You know, it's written that when the disciples first followed Jesus, it was the 10th hour. Think about the number 10. I know some people, every time they see a triangle, they think of the Holy Trinity. I'm not one of those kind of people. They're kind of spiritual hysterics. But the 10th hour relates to the Decalogue. The Decalogue, the commandments, and they had value because they led. And at this time, Andrew and John were being led by Jesus as they followed him. So it's a very important thing when you look at some of this that you find the symbols come in handy when you are trying to look at the deeper meanings. Now, after the declaration to Nathanael from Jesus Christ, he said to him, you're the Son of God, you're the King of Israel. Now, that's essentially what later on Peter says in the Gospel. But it has an entirely different meaning coming from the lips of Nathanael, because Nathanael saw Jesus Christ as man. The Messiah as man, not the Messiah as God. Because you wouldn't make it particular and small by saying, you're the King of Israel. No. God is the King over everything. So it shows that Nathanael's on the right track, but he doesn't understand what he's saying. Peter, however, did. And so the Lord says to Nathanael, do you believe because I said this small thing? I'm going to tell you, you are going to see angels ministering to me, ascending and descending. Now, where do we get this? You all know, I'll say this, Selam Yaqub. Jacob's ladder, right? What was the dream? The ladder is Jesus Christ, and up and down between heaven and earth. Because you see, you have to have an intermediary between heaven and earth. The reconciliation has to take place in that fashion. So the Lord had to be material. He couldn't be ethereal. Material, not ethereal. He wasn't some spirit. He was flesh and blood. He ate. He could be hurt. He tasted cold and the heat of the day. He tasted weariness. He tasted everything that we taste that we despise. And he didn't despise it. He accepted it. We run from hard work. We run like crazy. Opening up the Bible for us is a chore. We hate to open up the Bible. Where am I going to start? It's too big. Trust me. It's important every once in a while to think about how you began. I'm going to get a book for a second. Oh. The deacons know what I'm doing now, but the rest of you don't. This is our Synaxar, right? It's our Synaxar. And when I open up to keep the page in it, see? That's why I'm standing here today. This man. That's why I'm standing here. Do you know why you're here? Do you know why you're here? Are you certain of why you're here? I have at least this advantage. I have at least this. I can look at the road that I walked on. And believe me, I walked on him. I walked on him. I walked on a lot of people to get to where I am. But you need to do that as well. You need to know your own beginning. You need to be able to say, how far have I come? And what more is there left for me? And you ask these questions of God. And you ask them through your time with holy things, reading the Bible, saying the prayers of the Agabea and the Holy Psalmody, coming to liturgies. You ask, what do you want from me, Lord? Where did I come from? Where am I going? Reveal the secret of your intention for me. This is why we have this in the Bible, the calling of the first apostles. Why is it important to us how they were called? You know, Jesus was walking down the street. He saw 12 guys. He said, hey, follow me. It could have been as simple as that, but it wasn't. It was individual. And by the way, when he said, follow me to Philip, he did exactly the same thing to the man that was sitting in custom of receipt of the Roman powers, Levi, or as you may know him by another name. But Levi dropped what he was doing and followed the Lord. Imagine you heard the voice today. You heard the voice today. What a great thing, but also what a great challenge. How have we structured what's important to us? Let us think about that in response to this gospel. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.